Why is there a joke of like British people not pooping?
I didn't even know that was a joke.
That is a joke.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe we just have different metabolisms. Like, I didn't realize that was a thing. I mean,
it's more that like the stiff upper lip like so very proper that like
okay, I
you
see.
can't like
Yeah.
do something so improper as to poop.
So I was explaining this to like Megan the other day. Is that so how America, how the US views the UK, and how Europe
Yes,
views the UK
yes,
are vastly different. So
yes.
kind of the US views us as kind of like polite and like the gentleman and
Yeah,
like.
yeah.
We're kind of very proper. Europe, we're kind of like the hooligans, but we're like the noisy people that they hate seeing when we're on holiday because
Okay.
we go there and we party and we come home
Okay.
again.
Football and all that
Yeah,
junk.
exactly. So we're like how those two places like view the UK is very, very different, and like completely can like juxtapose. In
Yeah.
reality, we fit like somewhere in the middle. But yeah, Europe doesn't like us when we travel, really.
Oh. Well, I mean, is there like a lot of do you guys learn different languages in school?
Sometimes, well, I mean, it's set up so you do so in the first 3 years of like secondary school, you'll get assigned the language. But the problem is like it's not one language, like so like each year is kind of split into thirds.
Yeah.
Like the students are split into thirds, like one third will learn Spanish, one will learn German, one will learn French, and
Okay.
you're continuing that for like the next 3 years instead of just the entire year learning the same language. The problem is we start languages very late, though we don't start learning them till we're about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
There's no incentive to
Yeah.
learn a language kind of at that point. You don't feel like you need it, which
Yeah.
is why a lot of people in the UK don't actually speak another language. Like a lot of people just go to another place and they don't even try like speaking local language and they're just carrying
Yeah.
on speaking English. That's a very British thing to do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard that like even whenever Americans go to Europe or something, just like go to like some French restaurant or something and they like try to do their crappy French and then like the waiter's just like, "Look, I speak English. It's okay. You don't have
Yeah.
to do
No, the
that."
British won't, like a lot of British won't even try speaking French. Which is, yeah, it's just a thing. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm trying to learn the language now. Just because it like it'll also help on like my CV. Well, resume is what
Yeah,
you'd call it, yeah.
No, it's both.
Yeah, it kind of helps my career prospects learning another
Yeah.
language.
Well, especially with like, I mean, all of the game studios in like Quebec and stuff. And I don't
There's a lot
really
in
know of
Montreal.
many.
There's a lot in Montreal, yeah.
Yeah. Can't say I really know any like specifically French game developers.
Ubisoft have a lot in
Yeah.
kind of France itself. Don't Nod, who
Oh,
made
yeah.
Remember Me
Yeah.
and Life is Strange.
Yeah. I love Life is
Yeah,
Strange.
they're based in Paris.
Yeah. Okay.
The studio that made Castlevania, you know, the newest Castlevania, like Castlevania Lord of the Shadows, they're Spanish. And there's quite a few in Germany as
Yeah.
well, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, because it's the same in America. I mean, I speak Spanish, but that was my first language, so it's not like, and I learned English really quickly,
Yeah.
so it's not like there wasn't an incentive. Like, there was an incentive for me to learn English because I had to, but like, as far as in like Spanish classes, because that's mostly what
Yeah.
they teach here, like even in Spanish
Yeah, it makes sense
classes.
being like much closer to the border.
Yeah, but like even then, like no one really cared. Like there wasn't a lot of pressure into like taking that further. as opposed to a lot of other European countries where, you know, if you live in Germany or Russia or whatever, like, or France, and everyone has to learn a variety of different languages because everyone is touching some of these other countries
Yeah, for
that.
example, like Belgium and Holland, Netherlands, pretty much by the time they leave school, they're quite often like speaking like three languages. So Belgium, most of them speak like Flemish, which is their native language, French, and then English as well, which is kind of
Yeah,
insane.
that's awesome.
And then in England, it's just like we can barely even speak English a lot of
Yeah. Cockney's a language, right?
Oh God, don't even get me started on Cockney. It's a mess. It's horrible. It's not a language. It's just random slang.
Although it's very interesting because it's like the connections between like the slang are sort of like two steps removed.
Yeah,
So it's kind of smart.
most of all the slang is basically just like rhyming based. So like apples and pears is stairs. Toad in the I think it's toad in the hole is road, something along those lines. So it's all about rhyming and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
Which I mean, like, if you're gonna go with like weird street slang, like basing it off of like rhymes and stuff is a lot cooler than just kind of being too lazy
Yeah,
and just saying.
it's pretty rare now though, like not a lot of people
Yeah,
speak it,
sure.
just
No,
because it's a pain and it's no one likes
yeah,
it.
it sounds
Yeah,
awful.
it's horrible. Absolutely.
I mean, so there's like different accents, like in the same way that in America there's like different accents for different areas, there's even different accents in the UK.
The UK is something like the highest amount of accents in like the smallest area. So
Yeah.
for example, you could go from Liverpool, travel like 30 miles north, 30 miles east, 30 miles west, and 30 miles south, and it would be completely different accent. Like
Yeah.
just maybe not even 30, it's probably less, maybe like 20, 25,
Yeah.
and it would be a completely different accent.
Yeah.
It's really strange, and some I don't, to be honest, like there's some British accents I can't understand. I'm not very good with like I'm not very good with like Northern Irish. Like some Irish is like really thick, kind of like people that live in the country. It's impossible. I have one of my closest friends is from Scotland. He's lived like I live kind of south of London, kind of just south of it, and he spent most of his life kind of living around there, so his accent's kind of much duller. It's
Yeah.
kind of softened. But in when I go out to visit him, like last year, I don't know if you've heard of like the Edinburgh Festival, the Fringe Festival, like the comedy festival.
Yeah.
I went up there last year to visit him over there,
Yeah.
and I stayed with him and his dad. And like the first 2 days I was there, I literally couldn't understand a word like his dad was saying. It was like a foreign language.
Yeah.
All I could do was like sit there and be like nod and be like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of times when, I mean, I speak Spanish, but like Mexican Spanish and then like Cuban, Puerto Rican, like all the just different variations of it, like, is really different. And even though, like, sure, I speak Spanish, like, if I go to like the back of a Chinese restaurant, which is where all the Mexicans are, because that's how that works here, I wouldn't understand them. Like I said earlier, I worked at a Chinese restaurant for a little bit. The dishwashers there, I think they were like from El Salvador or something, like, I don't know, one of those like smaller Spanish speaking countries, and I couldn't understand
Yeah, it can be a very different kind of dialect.
them.
I guess it's like the same as like maybe somebody from like Brooklyn or Boston kind of coming to England and speaking to somebody from Liverpool, it'll sound like a completely different language.
But even still, like, I feel like growing up in Oklahoma, I don't really have an accent that I know of. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe that's because I'm surrounded by people with the same accent. I don't know.
Oh, it's the same. like, it's kind of just blended in now. Like, I'm used to like American accents now, so I don't have to like listen to it for like 6 weeks. Something that I found quite interesting was asking people as I've gone along, like, if it sounds like my accent softened or like it's slightly different. And they're just always like, no, it's exactly the same.
Well, I mean, so I've had to like do different accents through like performing and stuff. I've been in theater in high school, but like analyzing accents is really interesting, just because that, and then having to sing in different languages for me has also been very interesting. So like I know how to pronounce German and French and Italian correctly. I can't read it, I don't know what it says, but I can look at the words and pronounce it correctly. And so having that sort of like phonetic analysis as a performer, as a vocalist, has sort of allowed me to analyze the way that people say certain words, and to describe it in certain ways too. So like a lot of people don't understand how an umlaut works. And so it's like you do the letter E, but you have your lips as though you're saying ooh. So it's ooh.
I don't think I can do that. I suppose it's kind of like similar to like Japanese, like the kind of U sound they have is ooh. And then like they don't have like a traditional like la sound, like an L sound. But they don't also have like a traditional R sound.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like a mix between the two of them. So it's like la, li, lu, le, lo. Like that kind of thing. So it's like halfway in between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it took me so long to learn to pronounce that. Like it was horrible to learn that. It's still really difficult to make that sound when it's in like the middle of a word. But it's just takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. And I think that just learning different languages sort of allows you to break out of the mold of, well, this is what words and letters sound like. And, you know, a lot of times whenever we practice like different languages and stuff, like sometimes you make some sounds that with our context are just really ridiculous. But if you like break it down and listen to other languages, like they use that sound all the time. So like something like the umlaut where people are like, how does that even work? But if you, the way that you describe the halfway R like totally makes sense, and you just have to like let go of what sounds your mouth is used to making.
Like when I was learning kind of to make the sounds, it's you have to be very conscious of like the shape that your lips are making and where your tongue is. So like normally like a la, la, your tongue starts out the back like the roof of your mouth, or like a da, but it starts out just behind your teeth. And it's like a la is like halfway between the two of those. It's really, you have to be so conscious of like kind of things you normally, you're so used to, and you take it on it and you don't really understand kind of.
And in a way, however like snooty this may sound, but I kind of do feel that American accent is very simple.
I'd agree mostly. There's been a couple of times when I've struggled, I've had to ask people to repeat stuff, but for the most part it's really easy. And I think this as well because of like how widespread American media is as well. Like a lot of people grow up listening to American accents.
Sure, sure.
Which does help. But it's still like a weird thing where it's not so much anymore. But like at the beginning of my trip, like unless Umdi was like talking to me, like if it was kind of like people talking in the background, it would always sound like a foreign language, like back home, because of the accents you'd be used to it, like it was much easier to pick up conversations. But like sometimes it didn't even sound like they were speaking English right here. But as I kind of like adjusted to being over here, it's got much easier.
And I mean, I'm weird and I have this strange fascination with British culture, probably more so because like Radiohead's my favorite band. I've been listening to Everything a lot. Have you heard of them?
Yes, I have, yeah.
And like it just kind of turns out that some of my favorite stuff just comes from the UK. And so I don't know why that is or why like I gravitate towards it, but
Well,
like
to be fair, like, I mean, our music's probably been our best export for like the last 50 years, so I mean, yeah, we played a big part in kind of like the direction of music, and so that's kind of understandable.
Well, sure. I mean, like, I have amp presets that just say, like, British. Like, oh, that British amp sound, that British guitar sound, like, whatever that means. But I feel very influenced by, like, British music because it's sort of been the best music that I listen to.
It's very culturally based as well, like our music. It's like a lot of our most popular musicians over the years have come from like working class backgrounds and like poor backgrounds, in kind of like inner city areas, and that's definitely shaped their music. So it's kind of, yeah, our music is very kind of like culturally driven.
But even like so this like I'm doing a stretch here, but so and it's like I'm coming out of way left field here, but I have this idea
Don't
that a lot of cultural differences or societal differences or racial differences stem less from like the race itself or the culture itself and stem more from like it most of it just kind of boils down to like cr class struggle anyways.
Yeah, I think it's like just more of a combination of the three, personally. I mean, like, the British have done a lot of shit over the last, like, millennium, probably more than most, definitely more than most, actually. And then it's probably like Spain or a second.
No one expects Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's mostly driven out like, just change and like a fear of the unknown, and more than anything else, of people scared of what they have being taken away. That's just like my opinion, and that's because that's how it feels like a lot of British people.
But like even a lot of the divides, and I'm getting sort of like philosophical here, but like a lot of the divide that comes from like a black guy not liking a white guy or a white guy not liking a black guy, a lot of it just kind of stems from like power and what that like class indicates. And so in the way that I feel like a like poor black guy living in the streets has a lot more in common with a poor white person that's like white trash than a black guy that lives on the street talking to a black guy that works on Wall Street. Like, oh yeah, they're both black, like we're on the same team, but like whenever you really break it down, like the black guy that works on Wall Street is just like out for his money, whereas the guy that's on the streets maybe is just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that difference, I feel like, comes from more about money rather than about the race.
It's just a lot of like kind of that hatred towards kind of other people. Like, I'd say in the UK, like, for some it's definitely class based, but there's a lot of racism in the working class. That I don't know what causes it. It's just racism. It's just something I don't understand. I can't grasp. It's just people being
the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Most of us.
And a lot of that can just be fixed by like talking to people.
Yeah.
Like, again, if the black guy growing up in the streets and the white trash guy like would talk to each other and realize like, oh, a lot of our problems are actually the same. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can't, you know, pay for my kids to go to college, or like we go to a crappy school, or like we can't, you know, buy a car or something. A lot of those problems are the same for both of them. And so there's actually a lot less differences going on between those two people. And maybe it becomes a lot more apparent in like a smaller like area community. Mm-hmm. That I feel like maybe in the UK, like a lot of the differences become greater because you're like closer together.
I guess, I don't know, it's just kind of like after Brexit and stuff, there's a lot more kind of, I mean, I always knew there was like sections of our country that are racist. So I'm not naive enough to think there's like no racism in the UK.
Sure.
But after Brexit, I was like, damn, it's a lot worse than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm in a privileged position. I'm like white and male, like about as good as it gets. So sometimes it's different. Like,
you also have this charming, sexy as hell British accent. Thank you. Like you're already doing much
better. That doesn't have much effect though in the UK.
No. But here it does. Yeah. You're also tall, so like, oh man.
Yeah.
You're just.
But in the UK, like, at least two of those don't count for anything. So, I know it's like, obviously that, like, I don't experience what other people do of like other races and other, you know, cultures and stuff. But I tried to, you know, I tried to understand, I do my best. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's after Brexit, it's much worse than I thought it was.
Yeah. It's a similar parallel with, the election of Trump recently here, because it's sort of a similar thing. And me being a brown individual, it's never affected my life. Like, never. I've never been treated negatively because of my skin color. I don't know what that feels like. But to know that someone that I know or someone that I consider my friend would have voted for someone who supports or even just represents these ideas that are negative towards me is indirectly telling me that they don't value me. And while I've never had any problem with my race, it starts becoming kind of clear where those values are. So like, I mean, I'm an immigrant, and so to sort of say like I'm not even Mexican, but for someone to say build a wall is saying like, oh well, for one, all Mexicans, which
I think it dehumanizes a bunch of people. Like, a wall is something that you put up when you want to know, I don't know, it's like a fence, you put animals inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And so
a lot of Europeans don't like Trump. I'd probably say the majority.
No, yeah, that is perfectly fine. A lot of Americans don't like Trump either, but and it really just becomes a part of the vocal minority, that the people who are being vocal are nowhere near the majority, but they are, in a way, by voting for that man, is like the amount of people that did may not have been like, oh, well, I don't like Hispanic people, or all Muslims or terrorists, or whatever that vote might have meant. It might have just meant, you know, I don't like how the establishment has been affecting me, and so I want to elect a man who doesn't like the establishment. I guess in a similar way that the Brexit vote was like, I don't like how these minorities have affected me, or even just like the way that this whole thing has affected me. And so even though I don't necessarily believe in all of these things, it still is like a big like protest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can say it's just, this is like a short story.
Go for it.
So with Brexit, like, a lot of people don't like the EU because they've been brainwashed into thinking it's undemocratic, when in fact it's incredibly democratic. Like, for anything to happen, everybody has to agree on it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, being brainwashed into thinking that the EU is controlling us, or we've, like, the UK has lost control. Like, as an example, my nan, I love her to bits, but god damn it, she drives me up the wall. I'd gone over to hers like one day, and I was helping, like, me and my dad were helping like fix something in her bedroom. I think it was a problem, like a TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up, and like her main bulb in her light room is like this big old piece of shit that must be like 30 years old. And I'm like, man, why don't you change it out to like an energy saving light bulb, because it's gonna save you money, and you know, it's gonna help it, like, it'll do like a small bit to help the environment, like,
yeah,
I mean, it all adds up. And she's like, no, I'm not gonna get an energy saving light bulb, that's what the EU want. I'm like,
oh gosh,
I'm like, just because the EU suggested that doesn't make it an automatic bad idea. Just
yeah, well, plus, I mean, you guys still have pounds, like, you're obviously still some sort of free.
Yeah.
which is also being destroyed by the Brexit decision.
Oh, so. My God, tell me about it. I'm absolutely just hemorrhaging money because of the exchange rate. If I'd done this like 2 years ago, it would be so much better.
But I mean, it's a similar thing with, like, it's just become like party politics, identity politics, to where it doesn't even matter the idea or how good or bad the idea itself is. It's just about who is telling the idea. And if it's someone that I don't like, screw that idea. And both sides of that camp have been very negative about that. And so, like, rather than continue to be like, oh, a Democrat proposed saving the environment, well, screw the environment, you know, or, oh, a Republican wants freedom of speech, well, screw freedom of speech. It's like, well, both those things are pretty good. You should just keep both of them, regardless of who says to do it. And that's kind of a lot of what it's become. And so whenever people get, like, pushed out to the extremes, it might come from like a slight disagreement in like, oh, well, I don't like that thing, and so I'll support this thing. But supporting this thing also means supporting the other, like, gigantic slew of things that includes. And so, you know, maybe some people were just like, I don't know, maybe the UK might do better outside of the EU. Like, you know, maybe these points. And then it slowly turns into, well, you know, get these Muslims the fuck out of my country.
Yeah, well, how I explain this is like, like the people who voted to leave, like, not everybody who voted to leave is racist, but everybody who's racist voted to leave. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like just how I sum it up.
Square is a rectangle. Mm-hmm. yeah, and that's the same thing too. Not everyone who voted for Trump is a racist, but every racist voted for Trump. Mm.
The only difference is that, like, the core of Brexit, kind of, it wasn't like, you're not voting for, like, a person who has their own kind of, like,
sure
beliefs and stuff like that, but, like, with Trump, like, you're voting to support somebody that has racist views, and the argument is, if you vote somebody that has racist views, does that make you a racist too? And that didn't really happen with Brexit. Like, there wasn't like a focal point, like,
for
a person. It was just the idea of leaving EU.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of kind of complex stuff like with that. But yeah, with Trump, it's like, if you vote for him, like, you're voting, you're given like a platform to that voice and
you,
those views.
You are at least saying, I prefer this.
Yeah, you're at least saying, I don't care. at the best, you're saying, I don't care. At the worst, you're saying, like, I hate you.
Yeah. But that's what's so hard in that, like, I mean, really, you could just educate people. That's the most important thing.
That's too difficult. That takes too much money. So we're not going to do that. That requires people telling the truth on the media.
Yeah, and it does require educating well.
I don't know if it's something that's kind of happened here, but in the UK, like, the art of thinking is kind of lost, I suppose. Like, we're not taught to kind of... We're taught to kind of, like, this is the way it is. Like, our education, like, our schools, we're never really taught to, like, challenge or to think about something. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's what you need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Learn this and then prepare for the exam. It's never... You're never taught to think.
Mm-hmm.
You're never taught to critically think about something.
Yeah.
To be skeptical of something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's been kind of lost and a lot of people don't do. Outside, unless you go to university, sometimes it's something you'll pick up there.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's kind of like it's not something that's taught. You're not taught to challenge. And I don't know if that's the same here, but I feel like that's the reason why there's like a bit of an echo chamber, because mm-hmm. like a lot of our media is like right wing controlled.
Yeah.
Like the Daily Mail. Fuck the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
But like that is just because people. Like, the Daily Mail lies a lot. Like, it, every day, literally, it has to print an apology in the paper. I'm not even joking. Like, there's at least two or three apologies in the paper every day because they lied about a story. But most people, like, that read the paper just take it as gospel and they don't challenge it. Yeah.
Well, yes, that is very similar here. A lot of what my, like, philosophy tries to do is sort of challenge that idea. I really don't like the thought of that's just the way it is. Because nothing is ever that's just the way mm-hmm. it is. And so... Whenever you tell a kid, like, hey, like, well, whenever they ask, like, why is this way? And you're like, ah, it's just the way it is. You're just too lazy to, like, give the valid explanation. Or you don't know enough to give the valid explanation. And so the explanation is, ah, it's just the way it is.
I hate that thing. Like, boys will be boys. It's
yes.
Just, I hate that kind of line of thinking.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
And I use a lot of... I really enjoy philosophy, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I use a lot of logic and logical arguments to challenge a lot of these beliefs. And so that whole, like, just the way it is mentality is just asking for a slippery slope fallacy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, boys will be boys says, like, oh, well, that's just what they do. And then it's like, oh, okay, boys will be boys. They, like, look at girls and objectify them. Boys will be boys. Oh, they rape women. Boys will be boys. Oh, well, they treat women as property. And then, like, that just keeps mm-hmm. going downhill until, like, well, boys will be boys. And I'm reading The Handmaid's Tale right now. So that's very much...
Mm-hmm.
that, but anytime anything is just the way it is, you're just being too lazy to challenge it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can be just as willing to change stuff, or at least just look into it and just ask why.
Yeah, why is that? Yeah, it's just, it's kind of like, I know, like, you have, like, trickle-down economics. It's kind of like trickle-down thinking, and, like, people in power, like, a voice
mm-hmm.
say something, and then people don't challenge it, and because it's a powerful person, they start believing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know.
Yeah. Like, trickle-down economics are also garbage.
Yeah.
well, I mean, just ethical spending and all that mess of just... If you give rich people more money, they'll give poor people more money. Except when they don't.
Yeah.
yeah, but that's just the way it is. I also recently read... you ever heard of John Perkins? He was an economic hitman in, like, the 80s. And what an economic hitman did then... They were, like, a... chief economic advisor or whatever, but their real job was to go to foreign countries and bribe them for their natural resources, and if they didn't accept the bribe, then they would have, like, the CIA stage, like, a military coup and have people put in power that the corporations wanted to have in power. And so the book that I just read by John Perkins talks about how the sort of, like, Milton Friedman economics and trickle down and stuff like that is really just a way for corporations to continue to try to give themselves money.
Yeah.
and so what it's become at this point is that, kind of like you said, the trickle down thinking, like, these people put the ideology in place. And then the people who don't think about it and just follow the ideology are then perpetuating the ideology without knowing why.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to continue the, that's just the way it is. And so, someone saying, like, oh, well, the EU wants me to have energy saving light bulbs, so screw that. Like, is just not really acknowledging as to why the EU would have,
mm-hmm. It's just ignorance. I'm not,
yeah. how would we challenge ignorance?
Well, one might suggest education, but we all know that doesn't work. So.
and that's why I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. This is my third thing. So I have Love Never Fails. It's going to be okay, and I might be wrong. And that's sort of more to just, like, keep learning.
Yeah.
Since we play a lot of video games have a good way of teaching in a manner that, especially when you fail,
mm-hmm.
you learn really well.
Yeah. yeah, there's a few games that can like build around that kind of
yeah
feedback loop, mainly Dark Souls and the like.
Sure.
there's another, like, but again, games themselves rest on kind of tradition,
mm-hmm.
in the fact that they rely on people having an experience of games to mm-hmm. be able to play some games.
Sure, sure.
Or to understand a game. that's definitely better than it was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But like a new person walking straight into like I don't know, a multiplayer game on Call of Duty.
Mm.
Like, they are gonna have no idea what they're doing. and it doesn't, like, quite often they don't do a very good job of teaching it to complete kind of beginners. Yeah. Like, there's an expectation a lot of the time when somebody plays your game that they've played games before, at least.
There have been 10 Call of Duties before. Yeah. Haven't you caught up yet?
Yeah, just, like, just any game before, though. Like, sometimes, like, Kingdoms of Amalur.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a brand new game, but it relied really heavily on the tradition of gaming and mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, everybody that's playing their games
mm-hmm.
has got a solid experience of playing games before.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think's a big problem, but like I said, it's something that's like more mainstream games are tackling, like Overwatch
mm-hmm.
Does it really well. I feel like Overwatch is like one of those few games where like it's really easy to pick up for like just complete beginners.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something that's really easy to get the hang of, like, and it's fun for everybody no matter what they've played before.
Yeah.
Like what they're coming from or
until you start getting people on voice chat saying that you suck.
Yeah. It's not too bad though. Overwatch is one of the better games, like for Dota 2 is the worst. Dota 2 was like the worst community I've ever experienced. It was horrible.
I've heard League is pretty bad.
Yeah, they're both pretty bad. Yeah.
But, so I mean, like puzzle games very often have a way of you try something, then it doesn't work, and then whenever you figure it out, you go, oh, okay. Mm. But it really is like that process of trial and error until you figure stuff out. And so a lot of yesterday I sort of mentioned how like the internet eating its own tail, it's kind of education has sort of become like education eating its own tail, in the sense that like we want to educate people so that they get good grades, and then it's sort of flipped around to where we want people to get good grades, and so we will educate them on how to get good grades,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to educating them so that in turn the system that is designed for evaluating whether or not a person has been educated evaluates them as having a good grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the UK it's very you're not, like I said, you're not taught to think, you're taught to pass an exam.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, once you're like past like 18, I didn't have any exams when I was at university, a lot of people didn't. So, you know, quite a lot of people once they're kind of out of university, how many people take an exam after they finish education? No one.
Unless you're like a lawyer or a doctor or something.
Yeah. But once they're fully educated, how often do they have to take an exam? Like, never. How often do you get given a task with a deadline that you have to complete it by?
Yeah.
All the freaking time. Like, that is what having a job is.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm a big supporter of kind of assignment-based work mm-hmm. at schools, because it's much more reflective of real-life work than exams are.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what, like, I mean, going to school for music production has been like, record something and finish it.
Yeah.
And here's the date, because whenever you're going to actually be making music, it's like, or video games for that matter, like, the publisher says the game comes out at this point.
Yeah.
You guys gotta do it.
I just feel like, yeah, it's a much fairer reflection of somebody's ability and intelligence within kind of like a subject, I guess, like doing something over 2 weeks and then handing it in is a much better reflection than learning something for a year and then having a 2-hour exam at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of those is much more reflective of what somebody's going to be doing throughout mm-hmm. their life, and there's a much fairer reflection of their skill.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
nowadays, whenever you can just like Google stuff,
mm-hmm.
like something that might come up in a 2-hour long exam, maybe at the time that you had learned it, you're like, oh crap, it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if that actually comes up in your job, you're like, oh wait, how do I do this? You look it up. Oh yeah. And then you know how to apply it because you actually learned.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother also has a podcast, and he talks to a lot of his psychology teachers. And one of them was saying how there are like excellence-based learners and like goal-oriented learners. I can't remember if those are mm-hmm. the words. But basically, or mastery, I think was the word for, so like mastery type learners, their goal is to actually learn the stuff, and that yeah. whenever the test comes, they like already like know it.
Yeah.
Whereas like the goal oriented are just looking to get a passing grade. And this is like the only time that my brother has had someone on the podcast who was saying something that I was like, I disagree. Because he said, like, my brother asked, well, I'm also meta podcasting here. Mm-hmm. that my brother was saying, like, oh, well, you could, you know, make the name of the game to, like, master these skills as opposed to just learning them for the exam. And he goes like, well, you know, that would work for the like mastery people, but then you would have the goal oriented people like be in the same camp that it is now, that it's switched, that mm-hmm. the goal oriented people are good at school now, whereas the mastery people aren't. But then my brother asked, like, well, if you make the name of the game that, then the goal-oriented people, like, their goal becomes to master a skill. So then everybody wins. And, like, the guy was like, well, you know, the goal-oriented. And I was like, wait a second. No, wait, that does work. And so, like, if everyone learns everything and masters these skills, or just, I don't know.
Well, it's also like an interest. I feel like when somebody's really interested in something, it becomes a mastery thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it's something that you're having to try and get past to get to something else, then it's like a goal-oriented thing. I feel like just from personal experience, when it's something I really liked, like, you know, I'd go out of my way to,
mm-hmm.
but if it's something that hated and I'm just like, I'm just trying to get past it, like, I know I can kind of understand that.
I know that you've been like saying that, like, oh, in the UK it's a lot like, you know, just go for the grade or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is that way here too.
It's because all our school's funding is based on grades as well, so the better you
mm-hmm.
you do grade wise the more funding your school gets.
Mm.
Which is completely stupid, because that means schools that, you know, are failing academically and need the boost get less money.
Mm-hmm.
So that just compounds the fact that, like, students are going to keep getting worse there.
Mm. Yeah, well, logic in systems hasn't exactly been implemented much in the mm-hmm. past decade or so. What's something that you've seen here in the U.S. that is actually done worse than it is in the UK.
It's done worse here, or
Yeah.
well, in education or just in general?
Just general.
Bloody public transport here is horrible. It's just the worst. It's so impossible
is.
getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless you have your own car, it's so difficult to go anywhere.
Yeah, well, the US is the number one proponent of fuck socialism, so any form of public anything is kind of trash here.
Yeah, I miss European public transport. That's nice.
Yeah, no, it's definitely I've gone on some sketchy trolleys.
Yep. The subway in Boston, that was sketchy as fuck.
Yeah.
New York was fine. New York, I didn't have a problem. I felt pretty fine on that the
It's probably
entire
because
time.
like everyone uses
Yeah.
it.
But DC was actually pretty okay as well. But Boston was worse, and then Chicago were
Yeah.
pretty bad. Toronto, I felt safe walking everywhere. It's quite a walkable
It's also
city.
Canada,
Yeah,
so
it's very different, yeah.
everyone's nice and friendly, so you're not gonna.
But yeah, it was weird. Like, I didn't expect the city I'd feel safest in America would be New York.
Interesting. yeah. Are you gonna go to like San Francisco
Yeah,
or
I've been to San
yeah.
Francisco, LA, and San Diego,
Okay.
so I know LA's gonna
Good
be a bit
luck.
shit, yeah.
'Cause from what I've heard of the public transport in San Francisco, it is the worst. Also the like most insane homeless people. So
Yeah. Oh, well, they were pretty bad in Boston and Chicago, so that'd be interesting to check out.
yeah, and that's something else about like I don't know how it is in the UK either, but how the needy are treated in the US is the worst.
It's a problem in the UK, but for sure it's not as bad as here. Like,
Yeah.
and also, but also, the homeless are very different in the UK. Because we have the NHS, it's much less likely to have people with mental disorders to be on the streets as well.
Yeah.
At least there's a good chance that I get treatment like that they need.
Yeah.
But here, it's just like, if you can't pay, you don't care.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, the homeless in, well, there aren't many homeless kind of like outside the cities, kind of. London's one of the worst, but it's just a big city. But they're
Yeah.
nowhere near it as aggressive as the homeless here.
Yeah.
They're just kind of sit there with like a cup and they'll just be like, can I have some change?
Yeah.
They don't really talk to anybody. I've had people like run up to me in America, like asking them for help, and I'm like, dude, no, you're scaring me. I'm not going to give you money.
Yeah. Well.
So it's very different.
Yeah, and that's kind of a lot of the problem is that since the culture is very like fix it yourself and like pull yourself up and you know you're on your own and me everything anytime anyone needs help no one's actually willing to give it and in a lot of cases these people can't help themselves and so people with mental disabilities or like mental health there's no like public mental health institution that I know of.
Yeah, we're quite lucky to have the NHS.
So I mean like you could go to prison, but then that's just worse. Because they don't help anyone there.
Yeah.
And the what's the word? Recidivism rate, the rate of people who go to jail, get out, and go
And go
back
back
into
to jail,
jail
yeah.
is like ridiculously high here.
It's pretty high in the UK too.
Yeah.
Like, the prisons are. I don't think they're as bad as the US because we don't have a lot of private prisons, which helps, but. there isn't much in place to help people rehabilitate when they're in prison. There isn't much that can, like, I support them being like taught a skill or skills being taught in prisons. That way,
Sure.
people can, when they get out of prison, it helps them get a job. But the problem is, it's just kind of like, eh, you're free now. Go, and then like most places don't hire if you've got like a criminal record. So they now you have no choice but to go back to crime. It's just, it's a bit of a vicious circle.
No, that's pretty much that. Might be a lot better in Japan.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the public transport in Japan a lot. It's so much better. I'm
No,
looking
they
forward to the food as well, because the food's going to be like a total cleanse after America, really.
Did you say that you had tried Taco Bell or you haven't
I
yet?
haven't, and I'm not going to, I don't think.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I don't
M
want
maybe just like one thing just to be like, oh wow, this is garbage.
to. Yeah.
But
I don't know. Normally, I'm really up for like things that are like really bad that they, like with films like The Room, like things that are so bad that they couldn't end up being good, like in their own stupid way. But food is not something I mess with like
Well,
that.
no, that's because it like physically is dangerous.
Yeah.
The room can't like make you vomit
I don't know.
uncontrollably.
I felt like doing that when I was watching like Trolls 2, so that was pretty bad. I actually felt like being sick, and that was so bad.
Wait, there was a second one of those?
Yeah, well, it's like, well, it's like Trolls and then like Trolls 2, and Trolls 2 is like
I didn't
this.
know there was Trolls
Yeah,
2.
Trolls 2 was made like 10 years ago. It's like based off like a different
Oh,
thing. Yeah,
or
it was.
Gremlins?
No, it's.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, Trolls was like a film in the 90s, I think it was. And then Trolls 2 wasn't really a sequel, but they just had the name attached.
I'm pretty sure it's Gremlins.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's like, it's about these goblins, and there's a scene where it's like there's like a witch, and she's the one that's bringing all these, like, she turns people into like, but they're actually goblins, and they're called goblins in the film, but the film's called Trolls 2. And there's a scene where there's like a sex scene in like this caravan between this witch and like some guy, and for some reason, like, it's just popcorn. Popcorn starts filling up this caravan, and it's so weird. It's got this really famous quote when, like, the witches, like, all these goblins start eating a person, and like there's another person looking on, and he's like, they're eating him, and then they're gonna eat me. Oh my God. And it's funny in places, but it's so bad in others. I was like, I actually feel kind of ill. I wouldn't recommend watching it.
What you were describing sounds like Gremlins 2.
It's not
It might have been
Gremlin.
named differently
Yeah,
in the UK
no,
or
Gremlins
something.
2 is a thing in the UK, like with the water to make them multiply or whatever. Yeah, that's still a thing in the UK. It's not a great film, but it's okay. Trolls 2 is one of the worst films ever made. Like, holy crap, it's just awful. I think the director was Italian. Okay, but everyone else working on the film is English, and he absolutely refused to learn English, which might explain why it was so terrible in places, but in others, it's just dreadful filmmaking. That and like Birdemic 2, and oh, there's so many bad films that are kind of glorious to watch.
It just makes you appreciate the really good films,
Yeah.
though. Yeah,
Well, I know The Room's special in its own way. It's
yeah.
awful, but it's so bad, it's good. It's
Yeah,
just hilarious to watch
yeah.
it.
Yeah. What's like a good bad game?
A good bad game.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question. So like Kane and Lynch, that's a bad game, but it's kind of entertaining in its own way.
It's really cool in a way.
What else would I say?
Just in a way, like Saints Row.
Saints Row is still pretty good, though. Yeah. Like, it's, like, solid, like, the mechanics and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't really like it, but I can see why people consider it good. I have played some really bad games where it's just... Okay, there was a... I think mods are kind of, like, the equivalent of, like... good bad yeah, games, but they yeah. take like a good game and then they put like this god awful mod on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've seen some like horror campaigns for like that, like mods for like Counter Strike.
Oh,
and they're so bad. They're so bad. They're awful. I feel like that's kind of the equivalent.
Sure. Yeah.
Normally, bad games are just bad games because they're kind of unplayable. Just,
like broken.
Yeah, like Aliens, Colonial Marines. Mm. That's just. The Da Vinci Code back on PS2.
Oh, geez.
That was awful, but it was kind of funny because it's like completely different from the film. Like, you know, for some reason, you know, like judo. Like, even though you're like the main character,
yeah.
It's so funny because it's just awful. But I don't think it's as common yeah. with games as it is with
films. I would honestly say, like, and I love Bethesda games, but Bethesda games are kind of terrible.
Oh, they're broken. They are.
Yeah.
The one thing that saves them is just like the sheer amount of like
content.
Yeah. The sheer amount of ways that you can play the game.
Yeah.
Like at least it's not as like clunky. Like Skyrim and Fallout's combat is like way less clunky than the. Kind of the previous game
in yeah. those days. Although Oblivion is still my favorite Elder Scrolls.
Oh, Oblivion is just such a pain to play. It's so difficult. Like your sword is just feels like you're wielding, like a noodle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a swimming noodle.
Just, yeah.
It's awful.
Well, I mean it's not like
but it's the world that people the,
yeah, 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 yeah.
The world and like the quests.
Yeah. But it was also like wasn't it like a launch game? So it was like a Xbox 360 launch yeah. game. And so it's like, hey guys, we have like bright colors. And so like the orcs were like too green.
Mm.
and that's pretty hilarious to look at yeah. even in retrospect.
yeah, this like, I heard a lot of people really like Morrowind, but I've never played it. I know though, at the beginning of the game when you first play Morrowind, there's actually a book you can pick up, like it's kind of near where you spawn, like when you first start the game,
mm.
and it just causes you to like fly up in the air.
Oh, it's actually boots.
Boots, okay.
So you're like going down this path, and like you just hear like some yelling, and then like some elf falls out of the sky and just lands in front of you, and like he has like some notes about like the boots that he enchanted, and then he's actually wearing the boots. And it makes your agility level like 300 or something. Like something that is actually not achievable in game. And so whenever you jump in the game, you just fly into the air. Which is pretty great because fall damage.
At least you get to the level so high that you just negate any fall damage. Skyrim kind of had that problem where you just kind of get to a level where you just
yeah. like,
can't be killed.
You just walk up to a giant mm-hmm. and beat him up with your fists.
Yeah.
two last questions. Mm-hmm. One, what's something that you've been watching or playing or listening to that you want other people to look into?
Okay, so I've been on like lately I've really started liking like Porter Robinson. I really like his music. Like, it's kind of fun and like
it's yeah
it's well it's electro pop, but it's like there's like you can tell that his songs are all part of like one thing, like his albums.
Yeah.
Like all the songs are on there, like one thing, but they're unique from each other, if that makes yeah. sense. which is also why I love Arcade Fire. Like The Suburbs is like my favorite album because it feels like a story, and you can tell that all those songs belong as part of that album, but they're all unique from each other in their own way. And like I'm also watching Supernatural at the moment while I'm traveling, and that's really good. Like I'm only on like season four, but that's been really good so far.
And then lastly, sort of stealing from Pockets Full of Soup, do you have a question for me?
I don't know because I ain't really prepared anything. Like normally I'm really bad at coming up with anything like that on the spot. No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. Ollie, thank you. I always enjoy conversations about ranging from video games to politics
Yeah, it
to
was pretty
whatever.
different, but it was pretty fun. Yeah, it was fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Where can we find your things?
So Twitter, I'm majestic underscore mav, MAV, and what I forgot to mention earlier, my website, oliverpowerdesign.com. So it's got some of my like, portfolio stuff on there, and
Cool. Yeah.
if you want to check it out, it's over there.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you for doing this. I'm Santiago Ramones. You can find everything that I do on my website, santiagoramones.com. You can really tell how many times I do this. I make music, which you can find on there. I will be releasing, or will have already been released, future past tense. An EP of music, which is six songs, called Songs with Words EP, because I make a lot of music without words, and that's actually music with words. So hopefully you'll enjoy that if it is out by the time that this podcast is. Which you can download for free, or you can pay me money if you want. It's whatever you want to do. I always end every podcast with my three things, which shape my life philosophy, which are love never fails, it's going to be okay, I might be wrong.